for taped to end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication. Voices from His Excellent Glory declaring the kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903. Monday morning, December the 28th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the minister of the morning.
Hour and a half. Praise God.
Well, how many enjoyed that word last night? Wasn't it good? Praise the Lord. I enjoyed it very much. I got a lot out of that. I wrote all those scriptures down too. And it's good to hear different brethren. I love to hear different ones who have a word from the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand and pray. Can we do that? May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you again for this precious day. You said this is the day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and truly be glad in it. Lord, we approach this word reverently today, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We honor this word that you've given us. We humble our hearts before you. Lord, without you, we're nothing. And we can do nothing. We can say nothing. And we ask, Father, that you would use us today in a mighty way. Help us, Lord God, we pray. And everybody said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Turn over to Matthew 24. How many believe we're living in serious times? I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was in Muskogee, Oklahoma. You might know where Muskogee is. And I had my hands raised. I was praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And God spoke to me. And this is what He said. He said, you'll go to this nation. I heard Him say those words. And then a prophet came and gave me a word of the Lord. How many thank God for prophets this morning? And those that have a word in their mouth. But he warned me to stay humble, to stay down, and not let pride come in. Brother Bob, get on that last time. That really blessed me, what he said about that. And so I've been going up and down the land for many, many years, preaching a word that God put in my heart. I wasn't taught this in Bible college. Thank you, Bill. Let me believe there's some things we've been taught we have to be untaught. Does that ever happen to anybody here? I went to Bible college as a wonderful brother, and I loved him very much, and he had a lot of truth. But when it comes to end time truth, God gave me other things that were different than what I was taught, and I had to be untaught. So I came to a place where I said, Lord, I'm willing to lay everything down that I've been taught. If you'll just begin to show me and teach me. I mean, the Holy Ghost is our teacher today. Of course, He uses men, He uses women, but He is our teacher. In Matthew 24, and before you look at 24, look in 23. Look at verse 38. Verse 38, praise God. And Jesus said something here to us in this verse. He said, behold your house. Now, He had said, my house. And then He said, my Father's house. But then He got right down and He said, your house. And when He said, your house, He said, your house is left unto you, what? Come on. Desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then look in 24:1. What did he do? He walked out of that house for the last time, that natural physical temple. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. How many believe that he's building a temple today? How many know we're that building? We're that temple. Is that right? We're the habitation, the sanctuary of God. Can somebody say amen? I'm not looking for a temple in the Middle East. They may build 50 of them. I don't know. I'm not looking for that because I'm looking for the real temple. That's the people of the living God. Can you say amen? But Jesus walked out of that temple. He said, all that you see here is going to be thrown down. It's going to be torn down. And in verse 2, he said, see you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples come to him saying, tell us when shall these things be, number one, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, number two, and of the end of the age. Praise God. How many know he answered every one of them right here in Matthew 24? But notice particularly what he said. What shall be the sign? They asked him, what shall be the sign of your parousia, your coming? Look down now to Matthew 24 and verse 20, Let's go down to verse 21. In verse 21, let's go start there first, and we'll see that later on down in the chapter about the sign. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, those were out of the words of Jesus. He quoted Daniel, didn't he? Daniel chapter 12. Daniel said it would be a time of trouble. And yet Jesus said it will be great tribulation, didn't he? It will be tribulation. Amen. Now, I believe that the great tribulation is a full-blown, intense affliction that's coming on the world. I believe it's crushing oppression. It is the tribulation, the great. As many titles you could look at it. But he said right here in this verse that there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I mean, oh, we've seen a lot of tribulation even in our day. Is that true? From the time we was born to now, we've seen much, much tribulation, suffering and sorrow. And yet Jesus said, this is going to be the greater. And except those days, the days of tribulation, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. You know, the devil would like to kill everybody. Come on now, amen? He'd like to annihilate everybody, every human being. How many know there is enough power in the world to destroy mankind today? But God will not let that happen. Because at the beginning of the tribulation, God's fullness will come into His people. The revelation of Jesus Christ will come into His people. The fullness, the power. Anybody want more power from the Lord today? How many know He has the power for the hour? Amen? Praise the Lord. And that power will come into the elect, and they will rise up and stop the total annihilation of humanity. I'm not saying destruction won't come. How many believe destruction's coming? It's coming, brethren. You can mark it down, it's coming. And it came in Noah's day. It's coming in our day. Jesus said it would come. But the elect of God, God's going to use His chosen people. So, He says here, look at this verse again now, in verse 22. Except those days of tribulation should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, then he goes into a lot of things here we could talk about, but come on down to verse 29. Now, Jesus said these words. These are His words. Immediately after what? Come on. Good times? After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers, those demonic powers of the heavens, are going to be shaken. Do you believe that? And then shall appear the sign. Now, they asked Him what would be the sign. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all of the tribes of the earth born, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. Here is this literal coming. In the clouds, how many know He's first coming in a people though now? And we are those clouds too, listen. Now, I know He's coming in a people first, but I know He's coming out there too. These are not rain clouds, because look at this verse. He's coming in the clouds of heaven. How many see that? With power and great glory. Next verse. And He shall send His angels, His messengers, with a great sound of a trumpet. That's the seventh trumpet, the seventh message that Revelation talks about. And they shall gather together His elect, His chosen, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, Mark says, from heaven and earth. Mark includes also the earth. How many believe God has an elect there? He has an elect here. He's going to bring us together. Is He going to do it? Amen. Now, the Lord has sent me across this nation to warn America that tribulation's coming. And I believe today, again, we need to be warned. It's coming. It's coming up on the land, and it's coming even up on the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How many know Jesus ministered for 3.5 years? Is that true? And He ministered from the throne of God. He was cut off in the middle of the week. And there is 3.5 years, any way you look at it. Some things have been come to pass in the past. But there are some things we're facing today that has not been fulfilled. Praise God. And I see the overcomers taking the last 3.5 years of this great tribulation. We're in tribulation now, whether you know it or not. You look around the world. How many know there's some tribulation in the world? There's tribulation in your home. There's tribulation maybe in what your ministry, wherever you are. But God is allowing it to increase every year. Is that true? And until we come up to this final tribulation. And so the overcomers are going to take the last 3.5 years of this great tribulation. And God's going to empower them with great power. Now look in Isaiah 60. Look in Isaiah 60. I've been I have had meetings shut down on me because I preached the tribulation. How many know that some people just don't want to hear it? They don't want to hear it. But brother, I'm telling you something. God has spoken to me in places to preach it, and they wouldn't let me come back in the door. In Isaiah 60, but how many know that God will open another door? And He's done it. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Come on. Where's He at? Upon who? The people, right? The people of God. For behold, now look at this, the same time as the light is rising, notice, darkness shall what? Cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. That's the transfiguration. That's the same experience Jesus had in Matthew 17. There was so much glory, Brother Bob, in Him. That explosion took place within to without. And I'm telling you, God is going to have that explosive power coming in fullness within a people. And it's going to be so powerful, it's going to come on the outside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. In the greatest time of darkness, there'll be the greatest light shining in and through His people. Can you say amen? How many believe that? Amen? All right, good. Praise God. Let's go to another scripture now. Let's go over to Revelation. I want to go to Revelation chapter 11. Now, I want to show you this 3.5 years of tribulation. I didn't say 7 years. I was taught it was 7 years. But the real tribulation is 3.5 years. Okay? I'm not going to fight over that, but let's look at it. Look in chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me, John said, a reed like unto a rod. This is a golden rod. Gold is a picture of His divine nature. And then he said, the angel stood saying, rise and measure. I want you to look at this. The temple of God. How many see that? Temple of God. Now, how many believe that we are God's temple today? Again. And you know, brethren, He's not measuring us with a measuring stick. How many know God put apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists in the church to bring us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ? Is that true? And so He said, measure this temple of God, and especially and the altar, and them that worship therein. He's going to measure the worshipers. How many believe that? God wants us to become worshipers. Amen? Hallelujah. And so He said, those that will worship will be measured. Now, this is the beginning of the tribulation, whether you know it or not, right here. Chapter 11. And God is measuring His people, especially the worshipers. And verse 2, somebody else is not measured. Look in verse 2. But the court, the outer court, that's without the temple. Did you notice that phrase, without the temple? Leave out. Anybody want to miss what God's getting ready to do? Anybody want to be left out? We'd be fools if we were. And measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles or the heathen, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long? 42 months. Now, I'm not looking at Jerusalem. I know it's called the holy city too. But how many know that God's people are the holy city? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And yet God says here, in verse 1, somebody's measured. Verse 2, somebody's not measured. You know, in verse 1, somebody's obedient to God. In verse 2, somebody's disobedient and rebellious against God. And they're not measured. For how long? 42 months. Then look at verse 3. Now here's the power coming within the people of God. And I will give power to my two witnesses. These are not two men. Now I used to teach these were two men. And you read Zechariah 4. He also illuminates us and gives us a lot more information on these two. But you see a picture of Moses and Elijah in this people, don't you? Because of the plagues and things that come here. But in verse 3 he said, notice, but I will give power to my two martyrs, and they shall prophesy 1,200 threescore days clothed in sackcloth. Now notice, that's 1,260 days, isn't it? So as the outer court is being trampled down for 42 months, God has anointed a company or people that's going to prophesy during that 42 months. I may believe the Holy Ghost can't be gone like some are saying. Come on, don't shout me down now. He can't be gone. No way. I mean, oh, he's gone, we're in trouble. Isn't that true? We are really in trouble if he's gone. Then we look over in chapter 12. Now look in chapter 12. I'm just showing you there is coming tribulation. And I have a book back there called The Man-Child on the table. Just put it out not long ago. And I wanted to do it several years ago. I just couldn't get it out. But in chapter 12, God's bringing forth his overcomers out of the bride of Christ or out of the woman. And I'm not going to get in that today. But look down to verse 5. She, the bride, the church, brought forth a man-child. I know some say, well, this is Jesus. Well, how many know Jesus in a people? But it's not Jesus. How many know Jesus, when he was born, wasn't called to the throne until 33 and a half years later? Isn't that true? But this man-child, as soon as this man-child was born, he was caught to the throne. Let's read it now. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule, and the word rule there means shepherd, all nations. Now, we know Jesus is going to do that. I mean, no, he is going to rule the nation. And yet there's a people going to rule with him and under him. Isn't that true? Who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. And I believe that's the rule of the Spirit, not the flesh. It didn't say a stick, did it? And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. God is a what? Come on. Spirit. God is a consuming fire. God is the Word. Come on. God is light. God is love. And that dimension, they're caught up into that. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go there? But look at the next verse. And the woman, the church, the bride who brought forth that man-child, fled into the wilderness. And this is not one location. It's worldwide. It has to be. Where she hath a place prepared of God. Hallelujah. That they, the man-child, in verse 5, should feed her, nourish her there. How long? 260 days. How many believe that's 3.5 years? Now that has not happened yet. So look over to verse 13. And when the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. How many believe great persecution is coming on the church? As soon as she brings forth these overcomers, the devil's coming at her with full force. But how many know God's got a place prepared for it? He always goes ahead, doesn't he? And when the dragon was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given, and this is the way it should read, the two wings of the great eagle. I mean, no, he's the great eagle today. Jesus is the great eagle. What is the two wings? It is the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. It's not helicopters. It is the mind of Christ. How many know an eagle has two wings? It's balanced. Come on, the Word and the Spirit working in a people. Isn't that right? And so these two wings of the great eagle was given that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished, here it is, for time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Well, he just told us in verse 6 it was 1,260 days, isn't that right? And now he's saying it's the time, half time. How many know the same thing? Same thing. And then you notice she fled from the face. Now he has a tail here in the scripture. Isn't that right? That's in verse what, 4? He cast the stars down with his tail. He has a face. And then if you look in verse 16 and 17, he has a mouth. Now what comes out of his mouth? Perversion, lies, destruction, all those things. Now look over in 16, chapter 16 of Revelation. And look at verse 16. I got notes, but I ain't bound to these notes. How many know the Holy Ghost is a note writer? Come on, Revelation 16, verse 15. No, let's go back to verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. That's why I don't like frogs in my house. Come out of the mouth of the dragon. This is the false trinity. Out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils. And what are they doing? Working miracles which go forth to the kings of the whole earth. And notice they're coming out of the mouth. It's perversion coming out of Satan's mouth. And back here in chapter 12, what's he doing? In verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth this flood water. Anybody been in a natural flood before? I was in one when I was a little boy. And you see all the dead animals and all the dirty water and everything else. This flood of filth is coming against the bride, the church. But how many know God's going to intervene? Come on, amen. During that time of testing, all the carnal stuff, I mean all the filth that's cast out of his mouth, the carnal man will suck it up and drink it up. Because the earth's going to partake of it. And there speaks of the carnal man. I'm not going to go into that today. There's a lot more to it. Now go back to chapter 12 and look in verse 5. What did it say here? Again, she brought forth what? A man-child who was to rule what? All nations with rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to His throne. Now was John caught up there in Revelation? Was Paul caught up to the third heaven? Others, you know, have been caught up. But let's go to Revelation 2 now. Let's see who these people are, for sure. Let's make sure that we can follow this. Revelation 2:26. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over what? Come on. The nation. Now, who's he talking to in that verse? Who's he talking to? Overcomers. Alright, verse 27. And he, the overcomer, shall rule them, that is the nations, with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers into those small pieces, even as I received of my Father. Same promise to Jesus, same promise to the overcomer. And I'm going to give him, the overcomer, the morning star. How many know that's Jesus? He that has an ear, let him hear. So we see that these are overcomers, this man-child. Now let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 5, 6, and 7. And let's look at this first. And there was given unto him. Notice the word given. Given. You see this here in chapter 13. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's that 42 again. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. How do you know that this Antichrist system hates God? Isn't that true? And notice his name or his nature. And then also his tabernacle. How many, we're the tabernacle of God today? The Antichrist hates you too. Come on now. And them that dwell even in the heavenlies. Is that true? And it was given to him to make war with the saints. How many has been in war lately? How many know it's increasing, as our brother said last night? And what else? To overcome them. But don't get discouraged. And power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. Now let's go to Daniel 7. Hallelujah. God gives us hope here. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, first of all. Verse 21 and 22. And Daniel said in verse 21 of Daniel 7, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints. Isn't that what John said in Revelation 13? I mean, no, if you're a saint, you're going to be in war. And notice, prevailed against them. Now, John said, overcome them. But look at the first word of the next verse. Until, at the time word, isn't it? Until the Ancient of Days came. Or I said, Christ comes in you. Anybody want more of Christ? Jesus. And judgment. Notice this word, judgment, was given to the saints of the Most High. That's mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. And the time came that the saints did something. Hallelujah. Possessed the kingdom. They didn't roll over and play dead. They took the kingdom. Then we look in verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. That's what John says. And shall wear out. Anybody feel like they're worn out today? Come on. Huh? It means to wear you out mentally, to afflict you, to wear you down. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. We got an administration today that wants to change everything. Come on, amen? But how many know God has set the times and laws? And notice, and they, the saints, shall be given into His hand. until a time, and dividing of time. Did we see that in the New Testament as well? Yes, we did. But the judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, shall take away his dominion, hallelujah, to consume it and destroy it to the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Those saints that was under this tribulation, under his hand, under persecution, will take over the kingdom, hallelujah, which is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him, hallelujah. Now look in chapter 12. Hallelujah. Chapter 12 of Daniel. And at that time shall Michael stand up. How many believe we got somebody on our side? From the heavenlies. Hallelujah. The great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such was not since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be raptured. No. Delivered. The word delivered means preserved. How many want to get preserved? You've heard me say it, some of you. When you preserve something, come on, it takes a lot of hot water, right? You got to have a hot jar. And you got pressure involved. Is that true? And you've got to seal something in and seal something out. And God's going to seal his people. And so it says here, brethren, it says, notice, in that particular verse there that we just read, that it will be for a time, at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, now here's resurrection, shall awake some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. How many know there's 1,000 years in between those words right there? You hear what it says? There's 1,000 years. There are two major resurrections, aren't there? The first and the second. And notice the third verse, though. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of a firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. So, take heart. God is going to resurrect the people. Amen? Praise God. Going to preserve a people. Now, let's go back to the New Testament, to Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Hallelujah. We'll get to my message here in a minute. Okay. Revelation 7. 13. I got an hour and a half. Got an hour left. Okay, Revelation 7. 13. And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, said this, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? Who are these guys in white? Where did they come from? Whence came they? How many thank God for the covering of the Lord today? How many thank God for righteousness? The King's covering us, isn't he? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You can't come out of something unless you've been in it. Come on, amen? And have washed their robes, made them white. Hallelujah. How, brother? Come on. In the blood of the Lamb. Well, if you put a white garment in blood, how many of it's going to come out red in the natural? But that blood of Jesus is going to make those garments spotless white. Can you say amen? Wherefore are they before the throne of God? Now, you don't have to be dead to be before the throne of God, do you? How many know Jesus walked here and he lived there as well? Isn't that right? Look at this verse. They serve him when? Day? Is there any night where God is? No. I mean, no, he's total light. They serve him day and night. Of course, it's consistency. But where is night? Right here on the earth. And yet they're there before the throne. Hallelujah. How many want to walk here and be there too? And serve him day and night in his temple. And notice his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Where is he at today? Come on. He's right here. Boy, I like what Bob said last night. That throne's in us. You know, brethren, the difference between Ezekiel's vision and John's vision? Ezekiel saw it all on the outside. He saw the wheels, the eyes, everything. You see, everything that was above. But when John saw it, it all come down within man. Ezekiel didn't see Christ coming in the souls of men in his book, but John saw it all over in Revelation. You hear what I'm saying? Now listen to what I'm going to say. This is a bombshell. Listen to that. The marriage supper of the Lamb is the place in the Spirit where the sons of God receive the seed of Christ within their souls. And the long sought after change begins to occur in the soul nature. This is the parousia. 2 Peter 1:16 through 19. Christ coming in, that morning star coming in his people. The Holy Ghost plants the seed of Christ within the soul, which is the womb of the church. The overshadowing of the Holy Ghost is the overshadowing which is necessary to bring forth the change of the human nature to that of the divine nature. How many believe he's changing? Anybody want your soul changed? Now, where did these people come out of? Great tribulation. Now, look at verse 17. For the Lamb, well, verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed, or shepherd them, is what the word means, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. Now, that's not a drinking fountain. How many know there's a fountain in each one of us here today? The Holy Ghost in all of us. He'll lead you to the body of Christ. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. I mean, that's hope. That is hope. Now, how many believe God's able to preserve us? Look in Revelation 3. And look in verse 10. I know people use this scripture to say, well, we're going to escape the trouble coming. But how many know this building can, and I'm not saying it's going to do it. Please, I'm not speaking that existence. How many know this building could blow up and not a one of them could have a scratch on it? Can God preserve you? He can preserve you wherever you are. I don't care what kind of destruction comes. God can preserve and protect his people, can he? He's going to do it. Those that love him. And here he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Now he told this to the Philadelphia church. The church of love. Brotherly love. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, and which I use the word tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God will preserve or protect us in that time. Why? Because of obedience. He said, because you've kept, see, the word of my patience, I will keep you. I'll preserve you. God will preserve the people. Then look in Luke 21. Praise God. Judgments are coming upon the land, brethren. God wants us to be in a safe place in him. It's only in him. The safe place is in the Lord. Chapter 21, verse 34. Now, two verses here. He said, take heed to yourselves. You don't, nobody else will. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. How many know that can be overeating? And drunkenness. We can be drunk on a lot of things, not necessarily alcohol. And the cares of this life. Know that that day come upon you unaware. And for as a snare or a trap, shall it come upon all them that dwell where? I mean, we're living on the face of the earth today. Look at the next verse. Now watch this. Watch ye therefore. Now what do we watch? Let me tell you what you watch. You watch yourself. Watch what you say. Watch where you go. Watch your actions, what you do, watch your emotions. Come on, amen. Things you say. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy, that's the overcoming realm, to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, like another translation says, that you be strong enough, watch and pray, that you be strong enough to come through all these things and stand before the Son of Man. How do we get strong in the Lord? By watching and praying and praying, always. I may believe we need to increase our prayer life. I really believe it. All of us. And you say amen. Praise God. Now, I want to go to Ezekiel. Listen, I want to get into the rest of this message God put on my heart. Let's see, I got this time. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 9. Praise God. Now, before you look at chapter 9, look in chapter 8 and verse 1. You've seen this before. Right before 666, or the destruction upon the people, God is going to seal his people. Now look here in chapter 8, verse 1. It came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day. Let me thank God for grace. Amen. And God took Ezekiel in the temple and showed him all the abominations that was in the sanctuary. How many know what shock is if God show us what's in the church today? And we've just seen a little glimpse, haven't we? But he saw right in the temple, right in the sanctuary, the abomination. And God was getting ready to judge his church. How many believe judgment starting with the house of God first, isn't it? Then we come down to chapter 9. Now look at verse 1 only. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice. Here's what he's saying now. Cause them that have charged over the city to draw near. Every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. How many see that word destroying weapon? Look in verse 2. It's called a slaughter weapon. How many see it? Now, back there, a destroying weapon would be a sword in the hand. But today, you got to upgrade the armament for 1998. Can you say amen? And the weapons today, biological warfare, chemical warfare, nuclear warfare, germ warfare, we have atomic power, nuclear power, neutron bombs, gases, submarines, missiles of all kind of equipment that will destroy humanity. Is that true? How many know that the Bible talks about inventors of evil? And a friend of mine one time walked by a Polaris missile. And he said there was the angel of death standing right there with that missile. He discerned it and knew it by the Spirit. And so we know there's inventors of evil. The agents of death today are so much more powerful than anything humanity could have even imagined in Ezekiel's day. Because in his day, all there was a sword. But today the sword is all those things that I named to you there. Amen. But God's going to allow man to bring forth this destruction. This destruction is coming from God, but it's through man. Did you hear what I said? Now look at verse 2. And behold, six men. That's the number of men, isn't it? Six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a rider's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. How many see that? Now six, the number of man bringing this destruction on mankind. We know the number 666 is the fullness of man. Spirit, soul, and body. Carnal strength, carnal thinking, carnal believing. But God is going to allow man to pour out this wrath with the sword and with the weapons of mass destruction and with the weapons of death, because man has the sword in his hand. But how many know there's a timing? I said there is a timing. It cannot be released until God says it's time. Can you say amen? Now, what did it say in verse 2? It said, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. So all six of these men had a slaughter weapon, didn't they? Isn't that right? The north speaks of destruction. Now, we know God dwells on the sides of the north. Is that true? But the north speaks of destruction. The north wind blows. The bitter cold comes. The ice, the rainstorm, death, desolation, and dearth. It speaks of testings and trials. Am I still on? Praise God. It seems like something went down. And afflictions. Praise God. But there's a redeeming factor here. I'm going to show you there's something that's redeeming here. Look in verse 2. It says, one man also was among them. What's he clothed with? Linen. Praise God. I mean, that's the overcomer's clothing. Hallelujah. Clothed with the righteousness of God. The seventh man. I mean, seven is the number of spiritual perfection. And what does this seventh man have? It says he has a rider's inkhorn. by his side. And he went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Amen? Praise God. Now, how many know that man cannot attain perfection by himself? Or maturity, we'd say. Hallelujah. But God, in the midst of destruction, is going to begin to send salvation and deliverance to mankind. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God for His grace. Amen. This seventh man, this man that had the rider's inkhorn by his side, said he went in. They went in and stood beside the brazen altar. What is brass? Come on, somebody help me. Judgment. Now, let's look at this. Where was the brazen altar in the tabernacle? In the outer court, wasn't it? Now, let me tell you what you have in the outer court. You have sin and you have self in the outer court. The brazen altar was in the outer court. And that speaks of a place of death. But how many thank God for Calvary? How many know Jesus died on the brazen altar, so to speak, on the cross? Isn't that right? But yet, we know there is a people that rejects Jesus, and yet we know there is a people that accepts Jesus. Can you say amen? Praise God. But when God leaves the mercy seat, remember God was in the between the cherubim there, in the Holy of Holies, there on the mercy seat. And when God leaves the mercy seat and comes to the outer court, how many know judgment's coming? Is that right? Because look at the next verse, verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub. He removed from that place where upon he was, and he comes to the threshold of the house, or the entrance of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. What did he say? The Lord said, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the forehead. Now, notice specifically, not just everybody. I'm going to tell you something. There's people not going to be sealed themselves. And I'll show them in a minute. Look at this. You'll get time. Upon the men that sigh and cry. How many believe that's God's intercession? For all the abominations that be done in the midst of. The midst of what? The midst of the church. Church in the world. We know that. And he said, those that are sighing and crying, he said, I want you to mark them. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, we have a choice today, don't we? It's either deliverance or it can be death. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, some of the church is not going to be marked with this final mark. Some are going to be left out in the tribulation. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to share that in just a second. Hallelujah. But after this sealing took place, look in verse 5. To the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him, not before him. You wait till the seventh one seals the deed. Then you go after him through the city. Smite, let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and those children and women. Do you know, brethren, that this thing's coming upon the old, the young, and the middle age as well? How many know young people's not going to know what's going to hit them in this nation? How many know we need to intercede and pray for young people from there? You can read the rest of it if you want to. There's a lot of judgment stuff there was coming upon the people. And I want us to go over to a scripture. Let's go over to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. I believe we're in a serious time. I sure want to be sealed. How about you? Matthew 25. Now, in Matthew 25, there are seven things I want to tell you real quick. How many know these are all virgins? They're all saved. Spirit filled. Gifts of Spirit. No doubt. And then. Number 5 is the number of wise, and 5 are foolish. I mean, God has a wise ministry and a foolish ministry, a foolish ministry as well. Is that right? Proverbs 21:20 says this, there is a treasure to be desired, an oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He's talking about the wise and foolish here in chapter 25. And the Bible says, wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepeth and rise from the dead in Christ, and give thee light. How many of you all have light? Then the third thing, the lamps are man's spirit. Four, the vessel is the soul. Five, the oil is the Holy Ghost. Six, the bridegroom is Christ. And seven, the midnight, the darkest hour that's coming into place on the earth. And here in Matthew 25, it says something. Look at the book, the marriage speech. Chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Literally, the word foolish means blockhead. I mean, no, we've all been some blockheads. If we don't stay full of oil, come on, we are the blockhead. How many know there are things that take you away from prayer? How many battle that was that me? Come on. They that were foolish took their lamps. They took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, they had oil in the lamps. Okay, but they didn't take the extra vessel with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels as well as the lamp. The vessel represents the soul. Okay? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, all 10 of them. But at midnight, hallelujah, there was a cry. How many thank God the Holy Ghost is waking up? There was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the margin says are going out. I mean, oh, it's down to rock bottom, no oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that what? Sell. And buy for yourself. How many know I can't give you all? You can't give me all. How many know the Holy Ghost is the one who gives us all? We can pray one for another. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now this is not his literal return out there in the air. Where's he coming first? Out here. Now it says, while they went to buy. So the foolish go out to buy. Where are they going out? In the darkness and the tribulation. Their soul is not sealed. The wise have been sealed because they have oil not on their spirit but in their soul. Their lamp. Christ had overshadowed their soul. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was slammed shut. Right? And I was praying one night, and I remember God showed me the door there with John saw in heaven. Remember that when he caught up? In the heavenly, he was here on the earth, and he saw the door. I mean, this is not a physical door. It's a spiritual dimension. Somebody's on the inside, somebody's on the outside. I mean, there are good people today that love Jesus, that know Jesus, are spirit-filled, but some's going to miss his best because they thought they could make it to midnight on this oil. You're not making it. You'll have to go out in that time of trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now let's go to Revelation 7. Praise God. A lot there we could get into. Revelation 7. Praise God. In verse 1. Before you read verse 1, look at the last verse of the last chapter. The great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? You know, the church is not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Isn't that right? But wrath is coming. And in chapter 7, verse 1, he said, after these things, I saw four angels. What's four number of? The world, creation, the earth. And so he saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. All right, that's east, west, north, and south. But I see more than a physical dimension here. I see a spiritual dimension. Because I teach the soul as four parts. Mind, will, emotions, and desires. And these angels are standing right on man's soul. Right on his mind. Because he has the mind to destroy, right? And it's going to be restrained. Isn't that true? God's holding the winds of judgment back. Why? Because he's feeding his people. You saw that in Ezekiel, didn't you? That seventh angel in Ezekiel is the same as the fifth angel right here. We'll see just a second. Look at this. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, owing the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the what? What is the earth? Out there's earth, but this is earth also, isn't it? Sure. And what else is, what's the second thing? On the sea. That's the natural sea, but humanity is the sea as well. Is that true? And thirdly, on any tree. That's natural trees, but we're trees of righteousness. Come on, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Verse 2. And I saw another angel. Now here's the fifth angel. Five is the ministry. Five is grace. And I saw another angel ascending, not descending. He's coming up. From which way? From the east. That's where the sun comes up. That's where you get light. He's coming from the east. How many know He's bringing light? Having what? The seal. How many want to get sealed with light? And then it said, and He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given. Notice it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till, time word, we have sealed the servant of our God, where? In their mind. Mind of Christ. Anybody want the mind of Jesus? Now look way over in Revelation 22. Hallelujah. 22:4. 22:4. Well, let's look at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. Intimacy. Right there. Fellowship. Union. His name or nature shall be in. Come on. There. How many thank God for His peace? Look in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And look at verse 1. Here's the same crowd in chapter 7. I know people say that they're not the same, but I, in my heart, they're the same. Okay? That's all I can say. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. The word Zion there means the church militant and triumphant. And with Him, notice the word with Him. How many see that word with Him? I want to identify who these people. Anybody want to know who these are from the Scripture? Look at everybody say that those two words. With Him. All right, look in chapter 17. I'm going to show you who these are. Hallelujah. How many of this word is true? No matter who's preaching, this word is true. Can you say amen? Revelation 17 and verse 13. He's talking about the 10 kings, the beasts, and all that's involved here. He said, these have one mind, shall give their power and strength to the beast. The beast shall make war with the lamb. But where's the lamb at? He's in us, isn't he? Are you going to be addressed in this warfare too? Sure you are. And notice it says, for the lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are, notice, they that are what? With him. There's those two words. Are called and chosen and faithful. 30, 60, 100. Passover, Pentecost, tabernacle. Come on, amen. Babe, child, son. Now look over in Revelation 20. Hallelujah. How many want to be with Him? Revelation 20 now, brethren. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, John says, and they sat upon them. Now, this is the people of God. Here it is now, what Daniel said. We saw Daniel. And judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now, that's a dirty word, isn't it? For the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. That's why John was on the Isle of Patmos. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. That's that false mark. And they lived and reigned with Christ how long? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were what? Come on. Finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign. Look at the next two words. With him how long? Now, who are these in chapter 20? The overcomers. Now, look at this verse. Now, let me show you something here. Look in verse 6 again. It said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death, how many know that's the lake of fire, hath no power over these people. Is that true? Look over in Revelation 2 now. Hallelujah. Revelation 2:10. Here's what it says. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. I mean, no, that don't mean just behind bars either. That you may be tried, you shall have tribulation 10 days. For some it may be 15 years. Be thou faithful to death, I will give thee a crown of life. All right, now look at verse 11 specifically. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, and he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the lake of fire. That's what he's saying in chapter 20. They are overcomers, and they are with Jesus. Now let's go back to chapter 14. Oh, I want to be with him, don't you? Chapter 14. And I looked, and a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. That's not Jehovah's Witness. Come on. Come on. That's the true witness. Don't let that number throw you. It's symbolical. It is symbolical. It's more than a number. It's a nature. Hallelujah. Although I believe in numbers. I can see that. I see that 144,000 over in Genesis. I see it all the way through Scripture. Never said it on that. You know, brethren, 12 times 12 is what? Come on, help me. Times 10 times 10 times 10 is 144,000. 10 by 10 by 10 was the holy of holies, the mission of the tabernacle. This is the holy of holies people we're talking about. A people that's in the throne with you. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be there? Next verse. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of what? Many waters. You know, you could go right on down. I've taught this so many times. But they are sealed. They have the Father's name. Well, if you got the Father's name, how many know you got Jesus? Because in the Greek, you know, it's his name as well. Amplified. Anybody got an amplified translation here today? Would you come up here, brother? Are you there in chapter 14? Let me read the amplified to you here. I don't have a Greek with me. Thank you, sir. Verse 1. He said, then I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name, notice, his name, and his Father's name, okay, inscribed on their forehead. So if you got the Father, you got the Son. If you got the Son, you got the Father. Somebody say amen. Now, our brother read it last night. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And me and the Father will come and make our abode with that individual, right? Here he is. Not here. Sealing. The people of God. Him and the Father. I mean, the Holy Ghost is putting the nature in us. Amen? Sealed by God. The name of God. The nature of God. Within a people. Now let's turn to Revelation 3. God. Let us look at verse 12, Revelation 3:12. You know, before he talked about verse 12, you know, he said that we're to take heed that no man take our crown. How can you lose your crown? By getting off into sin and into error and deception. One way and the other. I don't want to lose what God's given me. Have I lose? Him that overcometh, well, I make a pillar. And what does a pillar do? It holds up a building, doesn't it? And I'm going to make the overcomers a pillar in the temple of God, the real temple of God. And I believe there are pillars in the temple of God today, men and women of God. And he shall go no more out, which means he's stuck, man. I mean, you talk about security. I'm talking about a person who's overcome now. I mean, we haven't got there. But I'm not saying we have. Please don't take that wrong. But those who truly overcome will be in the temple of God. Amen? And he said something about those. What did he say? They shall go no more out. They're not going to be in and out, up and down. Come on, yo-yo, you know. I mean, they're solid. Isn't that true? They've been set in the temple by God. Is that true? And then he said, and I will write upon him, that overcomer, the name or the nature of my God and the name of the city of my God. I mean, oh, that's New Jerusalem. Which is New Jerusalem. Which cometh down out of heaven. And did you notice it's coming down, not going up? From my God, I will ride upon him. Jesus said, now what? My new name. Everybody say that. My new name. And I want his new name. So look at his name. Now look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus said, here, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, and to him that overcomes. How do you know he makes a distinction between the church and overcomes? Whether you like it or not, he does. And I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him, the overcomer, a white stone, white as purity and holiness. And in the stone, he's going to give him what? A new nature, written that no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. How many know that you know the nature's working in you? The world out there don't know it necessarily. You know it, don't you? Come on, somebody say amen. Now go to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. And look in verse 11, please. Hallelujah. And what does it say here? It says, and I saw heaven open. Anybody want an open heaven? Isaiah had it. Nathaniel had it. Jesus had it. John has it. I believe the overcomers will have it. You know, we talk about third heaven. But you know, Jesus ascended up far above all heaven. You ever read that? I mean, we got a ways to go. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and he makes war. I mean, oh, the warrior's in it today. His name is Jesus. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. You know why? Because in chapter 4, they throw the crown to his feet saying, Lord, you're worthy to receive it. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. What is that name? Look at verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know, the sealing is not only the Holy Ghost in us, but how many know he's putting his Word in our hearts and minds? I want to show this. Look in Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. How many thank God he's doing the work now? Every one of us is submitting to him. Chapter 31, verse 31. Praise you, Jesus. In Exodus 28, don't turn it, but in Exodus 28, how many know there's a triple ceiling? Exodus 28. There was a ceiling in the breastplate and the heart, the high priest, there where he bore the Israel's name. And then on the shoulder, he had two of the names of Israel. Remember that? And then he had on his turban, or mitre, the word holiness to the Lord. Now, I believe the ceiling starts when you get saved and fill the Holy Ghost. But the final sealing will be in our mind, our soul. And we have to submit our soul. Now, many people have lost souls. What do I mean by that? They just shut them out and won't obey. They will not do what he wants them to do, and they will not allow the work to be worked out of them. How many believe that we have soul ties that have to be broken? We have fragmented souls. That our parts of our souls have went into many things, that we need to call those parts back. We need a restoration and a renewing of our minds daily, don't we? And if you have that type of mind towards the Lord, then when midnight comes, that fullness can come right into you with no hesitation, without no blockage, without any. I mean, he'll move right into you. You hear that? Now, before I look at the scripture, let me show you how important it is to be read at midnight. Let's turn back to Job, though. I'm going to go to Job. Then we'll come back here. Job. Job 34, I think it is. Because we are coming to midnight. Job 34:20. Now look at this verse. Now the Bible said we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Is that true? At the last trumpet. But here he said, in a moment shall they die. And the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. Did you hear what it said? The mighty shall be taken away without hand. Those that claim to be mighty and strong, how many know they're not very strong up against them? In a moment they're going to be taken out of there. Amen? Now look in chapter 31. I should have showed you this a while ago. The word mark there in Ezekiel 9 that we saw, where the mark was set upon those who signed Christ. I'm going to use one of the times. Right here is Job. Look in Job 31, 35. And it says, oh, that one would hear me. You ever felt like that? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is, and that word desire is the word from Mark, Ezekiel 9, that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. But the word desire is the word from Mark in Ezekiel chapter 9. All right, now let's go to Jeremiah 31. We're going to wrap it up. Praise God. 31:31 of Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. What covenant are we under today? Come on. But notice he said, with the house of Israel. How many believe Galatians 6 said, we're also the Israel of God. And with the house of Judah, the praises. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and that's your soul. I want you to write it, if you will, in your Bible. And I'm going to show it to you. Inward part is your soul. And write it also, he said, in their hearts. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm going to see that. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hallelujah. It's been a good camp here today. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their what? Come on. There's your inward part. There's your mind. Your soul. And write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the baby to the man child. Then say that, okay? Now look in chapter 10. Look in chapter 10 and look in verse 12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by what offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Is he writing something in our minds? Sure he is. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now there, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, let us say this way. So he is writing his law in our hearts and in our minds. Amen? God is sealing you and me as we submit to him. Can you say amen? And so I believe, brethren, as that seventh man there in Ezekiel stood at that brazen altar, God sealed his people. The glory of God lifted at that time. And I believe there's going to be people not sealed. But you know what? Listen to this. The pressure will be so great on some of the tribulations that some will die in the Lord, and it's going to be a blessing. Did you know that? And the wicked's going to be destroyed. I want to show that. Look in Revelation 14. I'm going to show you some's going to die, and it's going to be a blessing to die. You know there's seven blessings in Revelation? This is one of them. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. 14:12. Here is the patience. My Martin says persistence. Here is the patience of the saints. He had just warned us not to take the mark of the beast. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die where? Where are they going to die? They're going to die in the Lord. Isn't that right? From henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Let your temple be filled with His glory. Let your court be filled with His grace. Let us worship the Lord in the holy of holies.
End of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.